Okay, folks, it's 4:20. Must be a break someplace. All right. I have, well, first let me coordinate on details. Was dinner supposed to come at 5 or 5:30? Excellent. Then we might be okay because we have 30 members of the public that have signed up on the sign-in sheet. At 2 minutes apiece, that would be an hour. We were scheduled for a half an hour public comment. I presume I will have no objections in going to an hour.
Right.
Good.
No objections.
Thank
Not
you.
Objections.
Okay. That requires the public, though, to have respect for each other, and your time is 2 minutes, not 3.5. So for all the people that think it's really okay to just take the next person's time because you have more to say, please don't. There are a lot of people to talk. I'd like to hear from everyone who wishes to speak and be heard at least once. And then we're going to break at 5:30. So we have an hour and 9 minutes. I'm willing to give every single drop of that to you. But yes, Teresa?
Can you ask if everybody has signed up?
Has everyone who wishes to speak signed the sign-in sheet?
No.
Okay, I see.
There are some people who come in, and I'm going to do another sign-up sheet.
Okay, Tracy, can we push dinner to 6 o'clock? I just want to let everyone have their peace. They've come. They want to speak to us. There are a lot of controversial issues going on. Okay, so could we push dinner till 6 o'clock so that we can accommodate everyone for 2 minutes apiece? And if we stay here for an hour and a half listening to public comment, that's what we're going to do today. I have a request. One moment, please, Fernanda. Fernanda, don't worry. I'm going to get to you. I've got to do the housekeeping before I let people talk.
Yes.
What is the request?
What time?
Oh, one moment, please. Okay. Okay, hold on. Laverne, yes?
Since there are a number of people, is there any way we can, like, have dinner? Some of us have been kind of, like, working for the last 72 hours straight. Can we have dinner, then have everyone come back, and we can just go into the night?
No. No, because we're going to get it over with in one chunk. Everyone's going to say what they have to say, and then we're going to break. There was already a lot of controversy over whether we continue working tonight.
Okay,
it passed. There's still a lot of controversy, right? It passed by a vote that we would continue working tonight. However, there are many members who have already expressed their supreme displeasure with the idea that we come back after dinner. I want to let the public speak, and then we can all do whatever we're going to do with each other. Cause
point of personal privilege.
Yes?
I really have to use the little boy's room.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't want to miss anybody, and I'll be back as soon as I have.
Okay, well, we'll let him go handle personal privilege, and we're not quite done with housekeeping before we go to the public. Yeah, can you keep time, please? Okay, folks. No, because everybody's going to run. Why? Do multiple people need a moment of personal privilege? Public, I know you have. Stop! Folks, the problem is nobody takes a 5-minute break. They take a 15-minute break. The public is frequently offended if members of the board are not listening. Could we? Yeah, I would suggest. No, listen, seriously, public, if someone gets up because they need to go use the facilities, please don't be offended because a member got up. I would prefer not to break the board because it's like 15 minutes before anybody comes back. You all are waiting, and we are over schedule, and I'm giving you a lot more time than what is allocated and pushing dinner down to do that. So I just want to get on with it. Thank you. So all that being said, first person up already knows he's the first person up. Fernanda. Oh, I'm sorry, because it was not germane to what I was handling. We have a personal privilege request from the secretary who would like to go see a political movie this evening and leave around 8 p.m., and there is no public transportation, so she would like to know if some member of the audience could speak with her when we're done with public comment and might be interested in giving her a ride, or a fellow board member, or whomever. So,
Beasts of the Southern Wild, which won at the Sundance and at Cannes.
So please, after public comment, when we break, during dinner, if someone is interested in helping facilitate this for our secretary, it would be appreciated. Thank you. And now, gracious public, board members, we will go to public comment. And the first person on stack is Fernando Velasquez. Hi, Fernando.
Thank you for giving me the time. I need to remind you that in the same way that it will not be possible to have capitalism, the Yankee Empire, and the recolonialism of Africa, Asia, and Latin America right now, with as the bloodbath continues in the Middle East, we cannot have Barack Obama in the White House, and we cannot have this room full of people that are not representing the people of the United States in its totality. We don't see Native American faces here. We don't see a lot of Latinos. We don't have Asian Americans. And this is a reflection of what happens back at home. Back at home, you don't have this composition that I described on the air or on the people that you bring into the station to do a show or in the people who are invited to be a guest. kind of assuming that those groups, social ethnic groups, do not have the intelligence to be interviewed on a regular basis like most of the white Democrats. You do interview. So I must take this into account. The other thing is that I work with Informativo Pacifica, which happens to be a radio show that we produce on a daily basis. It airs in radio stations in five countries every single day, Monday to Friday. And some radio stations in Colombia, three times a day. In Argentina, twice a day. Our news reports go all over Spain to the community radio stations. And yet, we have recognitions around the world, other places, but not here in Pacifica. Here in Pacifica, we have four national shows, Democracy Now!, which gets money from Pacifica, Free Speech Radio News, which gets money from Pacifica, From the Vault, which gets money from Pacifica, and guess who is the fourth? Informativo Pacifica, who doesn't get a penny, even though in spring 2005, this very same board, or the PNB at that time, voted for a one-hour daily with the budget to be carried on every single one of the radio stations, and you did not, and to this day, you do not comply with that resolution. Why? Because either the members inside your radio stations and your staff and some of your listeners, I guess, I'm assuming here, do not want the Spanish language programming every day. And yet, you look at the demographics, Latinos keep emerging, keep growing, the fastest growing group in the country, and you don't recognize the fact. You're missing listeners. Well, there's lots of listeners that you can address and you can bring in forth to be part of the Pacifica family, but you refuse to do it. You refuse to bring the Asian community as well. Why is that?
No,
I refuse to be part of this network that perpetuates white supremacy. The perpetuate white supremacy is not acceptable.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's fine if you finish your sentence, but please do try to adhere to your time. I'm going to go ahead and read off the order for the next few people so that you can prepare yourself. It's Max Blanchett, Glenn Reeder, Jan Bodar, Terry Paris, and Diane, I cannot make out the last name, but Bodegan? Forgive me in advance for mangling your names. I cannot read everyone's handwriting. Mr. Blanchett, go ahead, please. Thank you. You have 2 minutes.
Max Blanchet, but I'm flexible as Blanchet? To how
French?
It's pronounced.
Okay. Right,
I've been in this country long enough.
No problem.
I have a few more comments about our finances. I've been following them for years. I have a good fix on what they are, and I take the trouble to read the auditor's reports. First of all, Pacifica had a surplus of $282,000 at the end of the third quarter. It is projected, some of you may have quarreled with that we, at the end of the year, we'll have a loss of $703,000 for a net change from quarter to quarter of $985,000. Now, this explains, in part, the need for a cut of $1 million. Given that salaries represent 49% of expenses, logically, salaries should be cut by $490,000 of the $1 million, okay? Given that cost, the cost of an FTE on average, I've made this calculation, folks, on average is $62,000 across the system. And that ranges from $83,000 in national office to $51,000 at K and $72,000 at KPFA, okay? We will need to cut approximately 8 FTEs system-wide. Now, reasonable people may disagree on the magnitude of the cost cut in total and how to apportion this cut among stations, within stations, and between FTEs and other expenses. I understand that. This is very painful. By the way, everybody is facing that problem. The California state, the Greeks, the Spaniards, the Portuguese, the American government, we all are in the same boat. It's systemic. But even if we were to go ahead with these cuts, by the end of the year, perhaps we will be on an even keel. In other words, the profit and loss statement will show a zero at the bottom line. But there is no guarantee of that.
Time.
And I think that at the end of that, excuse me, let me finish
of
that
course,
sentence.
You can always finish your sentence.
We will still need to deal with the issue of our liabilities, which amount to more than $1.2 million, folks.
Thank you.
Let's be real. If we confess that, we are really, I'm ready to sell your bridge, and it's in Haiti.
Thank you, Mr. Blanchet. The next speaker is Glenn Reeder.
Okay. My name is Glenn Reeder. I've worked as an unpaid staff in the news department as reporter and co-anchor for more than 22 years now. I'm not sure whether to call the unpaid staff the backbone of the station or the body and soul of the station, since neither one could live without the other. But as ironic as it may seem, I'm here to emphasize the importance of the paid staff in keeping the station functional, certainly in the news and public affairs departments. I realize the financial straits the station and network are in, and I agree that bold moves need to be taken if it's to continue to thrive. But I don't believe there's evidence in foundations, states, or even nations that austerity moves, such as laying off key workers that make what the institution produces, in Pacifica's case, news, information, and culture, improve the financial outlook. One of KPFA Pacifica's problems is the bad economy, which, other than providing useful information about, we can't control. But we do bear some responsibility for the decline in listeners. Many of my friends and my friends' friends are saying what we all know. Many former Pacifica radio listeners, the ones that never touched the dial, most of them financial supporters, are now migrating to other stations, sources, which many believe deliver similar progressive information in a better and, yes, entertaining way, which translates to decreasing vital financial support for Pacifica Radio. A prime example is a recent KPFA fundraiser by MSNBC's Rachel Maddow, who on her book promotion tour spoke to one of the largest auditoriums in Berkeley, packed to the rafters with admirers, most of them Pacifica listeners, since the tickets sold out within 2 hours of being announced on KPFA. Great as that financial boost may have been, if anything, it's evidence of the strong need for Pacifica Radio. We all know that corporate MSNBC, Microsoft, national broadcasting company, cannot and must not be the most progressive voice on the air. If financial cuts are necessary, consider cutting from the top, the ones making close to six figures. Do not lay off lowly paid programmers and tech that produce terrific programming that draws more listeners and makes Pacifica Radio stronger. You don't need to be a socialist economist like Richard Wolff or Doug Henwood to know that austerity measures don't improve institutions in the red. Investing in people does.
Thank you. Next person is, I imagine your name is also French, Jean Beaumont.
I was going to yield my time to the previous speaker, but he doesn't need my time, and so I don't have anything to say. I was going to yield my time.
Okay, thank you. Next person is Terry Paris. And after that will be Diane, I cannot make out the last name, Bodegan.
Is this okay? All right.
Diane. Anyway, Terry Paris, please. Go ahead, and your time starts now.
Hi, I'm a volunteer at the station as well as a supporter and a listener, and my contribution is to spend a lot of time during each pledge drive, for which I've had the pleasure of talking to a number of people. And one of my concerns is the relationship or the response, perhaps, of top management to the situation in BAI. I've heard over the number of years of BAI spending being in a very expensive place in New York City, that it should be really relocating, that it wasn't handled well. And with all of the austerity facing KPFA, for example, I would like to know why that situation is still occurring and why it hasn't been better addressed. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comments. Next person is Diane. Again, I apologize about your last name. I can't make it out. After that will be Roger Zimmerman, Mitch Jezerich, Akio Tanaka, Sasha Lilly, and Chris Stelic.
Thanks. It's Diane Vulcagnani.
Vulcagnani. Okay. I have no way I would have made that.
That's
on there.
Fine.
Thank you, ma'am.
My handwriting's bad, too.
Your
time starts. I'm just feeling, MSNBC aside, which, you know, the thing is, when you watch that or listen to that, you're getting commercials every 2 minutes. So, you know, I'm sorry, KPFA can't even be compared to that. And for me and my life, since the early 70s, it has been the last voice.
Ma'am, could you stop for one moment, please? Folks, I know courtesy and respect is in short supply sometimes in this environment, but I would ask that everyone please be courteous to the person who is speaking and refrain from other conversations. If you feel it is necessary to talk and you're further down the list, then step into the hallway and hold your conversation elsewhere. If you're a board member, I expect you to respect the public. Thank you. Please continue. Sorry for the interruption.
Okay. I'm just feeling that this is the last bastion, the last voice for real progressives in this area, and probably for the whole country and whatever their local station is. But for us, Pacifica, KPFA is so incredible, and I can't lose it, and I don't want to lose it. And I have been really upset to hear how undemocratically run a lot of the decisions are that are being made regarding programmers, regarding how the money is spent, regarding hiring a union busting attorney, a law firm to represent. It's just incredible to me, and to say it's ironic doesn't even come close. So I pray that somehow we can maintain, keep safe KPFA, and not let it go.
Thank you so much for your comments. Next person on stack is Roger Zimmerman. Roger. And after Roger will be Mitch Jezerich, Akio Tanaka, Sasha Lilly, Chris Stock. Thank you.
Roger used to be our subscriptions director at KPFK.
Yes, he's one of ours.
and unfortunately, I have some bad things to say about KPFK. But in preceding that, I would like to indicate my total and unquestioned support for KPFA people and their programmers, because I trust them and I know that they responded to their communities, and they've always been there when we needed a feather pointing in the right direction, out in the streets or in the studios, always. And I totally oppose centralized programming run by a national crew or by a national junta, maybe, would be a better way of putting it. I worked on the bylaws committee for 3 years when we were working on those. It was a extremely courageous move by Carol Spooner and others in the area of allowing all the stations to create their own version of their bylaws and synthesize from them. And one of the main themes that we continually worked on and worked out on was the local control and responsiveness to the local station boards and the network and the national office responding to the local station boards as well. And with input directly from the staff and from listeners at all possible occasions. So I support the democratization of the network and the continuous input from the local level about programming, about their staff at every station, including New York. Because I can remember, if any time we need solidarity now amongst the stations, we need it now. Because the full potential of the network has never been realized ever in the history of Pacifica. And it's immense. It's never been touched.
You're at time, Roger.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Next on stack is Mitch Jezerich. If you could please make room so Mitch can get to the front. Thank you. And then it'll be Akio Tanaka, Sasha Lilly, Chris Stelic, John Hamilton, Ramsey Kanan, Scott. I'll mangle your name in a minute.
Does it work for you? Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Go ahead, please.
All right. My name's Mitch. I work at KPFA, but I've also done work at WBAI and WPFW and Free Speech Radio News. So I've worked with a lot of people, and it's good to have you all here. And I want to say that, I have quarreled with Andrew. I have disagreed with decisions Andrew, I'm talking about Andrew Phillips, or general manager, decisions that he has made. We've had dueling public emails. And I have a ton of respect for Andrew Phillips. He doesn't always do what I want, but that's not mandatory for me to be able to work with somebody. And I do believe that he is somebody who is in the station, sees how the station operates, understands the station, and at least I have the confidence that Andrew is making decisions based on practical things. not hearsay, not things that have been written on the internet, not all of these things, but things of how the radio station actually works. And I believe, the management before him has been micromanaged at the national level. And I see decisions coming to the radio station that don't make sense. And that is what's so troubling here. And so when the morning show was first eliminated, I at first saw this stuff online of and reports of, well, how great KPFA is still doing. And then here we are 18 months later, and oh, but we have to cut $300,000. See, things aren't quite making sense, and we would like to know, as a union, why? Well, just explain it to us. If we have to make reductions, and I mean, we want the network to succeed. I want WBAI to succeed, WPFW, KPFT, all of them. And we want to work to make that happen. But we'd like to have clearer time. Information on why things are the way they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Akio Tanaka.
Hi, I'm on the KPFA local station board. And I hear all these barrage of rules here and there, and I couldn't make sense out of them. So what I do is that I make a chart of the audited report that you all probably seen. So I can say, what does this audited report actually say to me? And what I see is that financial, the listener support, correlates what the economy is doing. It doesn't matter what the program is in or what show is cut. It basically follows what the economy is doing. So that's why the cut is necessary. The second thing I see is that this is the paid salary over the past 10 years. The two decisions that were made were really 10-year plan that did not work. It was under local control. What they did was during the boom times, they hired too many people. And when the bust time came, it's hard to cut people. Mm-hmm. Once you add them, of course it's going to be hard. But the reality is that that's what we're facing, is that we had the bust time and we had no way to go. Well, that's why this contentiousness is because of that very fact. And the third thing that I noticed is that Pacifica, a lot of people say Pacifica is drawing way too much money from the local. Well, I have a graph of what we locals pay the Pacifica. It follows exactly what percentage of what the listener contribute. It has been that way for 12 years. And when somebody said, too much lawyers, well, the people are complaining or suing, so the Pacifica has to defend, and it's like, when I punch myself, why does it hurt? You got to stop that. And by the way, Chair, my 2 minutes starts now.
That was good. Thank you. All right, next on stack is Sasha Lilly.
Hi there, everyone. I'm Sasha Lilly. I produce a program and host it called Against the Grain here at KPFA. I'm also a union steward. As you may have heard, Alexander Coburn died, I think, early this morning. And after a two-year battle of with cancer that he didn't disclose. And I guess I want to say what I'm saying in the spirit of his muckraking journalism and the commitment to be put forward ideas that are based on a commitment to radical politics, but also skepticism. I understand that the financial situation at Pacifica is quite dire. I think, and how one comes at a situation like this is quite difficult. But clearly there are more than one way to go about addressing a financial crisis, right? I hope I don't have to sort of introduce a note of Marxist political economy into this discussion to point out that you don't have to just cut. There's also something about generating revenue and that workers can generate revenue. Let me illustrate this. In 2010, there were serious cuts to the paid staff of KPFA. And contrary to what I've heard put out, there were serious financial consequences, net loss of income for the network and for KPFA from this move. When people were laid off in 2010, we lost $400,000 in revenue. And I'm sorry, it wasn't made up elsewhere. The way we made up our loss was by adding 19 additional days of fundraising a year. Now, we know what that does. That drives away listeners, and somehow listeners are forgotten in this equation. We lost a quarter of our listeners when the morning show was taken off the air and those staff cuts happened. This is serious.
You're at
time. If more cuts... A third of the staff may be cut in these next cuts, and it will hurt Pacifica along with KPFA as all incomes fall.
Thank you, Sasha. Next on stack is Chris Stelic, followed by John Hamilton, Ramsey Kanan, Scott, I want to say Wachantium, perhaps? Chris Stelic, please.
Hi.
Hi.
So we have about $1 million in cuts now. And I've been told the number for KPFA is something around 300,000. And the thought immediately comes to layoffs as a way of just making those cuts happen. But you'd have to be careful because layoffs, as we found earlier, aren't just cuts. They're also costs. We can look at 2010 where we hit something similar. There was not just the savings of the salaries. There are losses as well. If you look at 2010, the year before the layoffs, and the amount we got in drives 2011, and you balance them out so that they're both the same number of days on a per day basis, you find that we made $262,000 less in 2011 than 2010. So you take, and we're on track for more on 2012. So the people who came up in 2010 said the cuts of the morning show and those related programs were going to hurt our finances. Two years in, it turns out we were right. And, you know, something else I've heard is that, well, those losses were balanced out. No, they weren't completely balanced out. It was about half was balanced out. The 262K I gave you just then was after the balancing out. And this is not a one-time event. Anytime you're going to take a structure that has a big following and change it to something else that doesn't have, that's new, you're going to lose money. So you're going to lose listeners. So if your point here is to save money and to save money now, then layoffs just across the board or without any kind of serious thought are not going to accomplish that. In fact, they may make the situation worse rather than better. So that's what I would ask you to consider when you are thinking about these cuts. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm the database manager at KPFA.
Thank you, Chris. Next speaker is John Hamilton. And John, before you start speaking, Mr. Tanaka, you had a graph. I was interested in seeing that. So before you leave for the day, please, if you have copies for the board or at least one for me, I would like to take a look at that and we can make copies. Thank you. That was my point of information. John Hamilton.
Hi, I'm John Hamilton. It's been my pleasure to be part of...
Stop, please. Just stop. Okay, folks, are we ready for attention? I'll restart your time. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Hamilton. It's been my privilege to be part of Pacifica in one way or another since 1999. I was with PNN. Later a striker, free speech radio news. I've worked at WPFW, WBAI. I was a producer many years at Democracy Now! And now I work the evening news at KPFA. In 2010, we endured something truly awful, which was the mass exodus of many valuable programmers who did the hard work. We do the work every day. When Oscar Grant is shot, we head down to Oakland and cover the protests. When Occupy is raided at 3 in the morning, we show up and we get that story on the air. When Tahrir Square blows up, we're dialing for hours to get hold of an activist in Tahrir Square. And when you cut 15 people out of a radio station, you get a lot less of that. So in 2010, as much as it hurt to lose my colleagues, and it hurt a lot more to lose 30% of our audience during that morning block. I want each and every one of you to think very carefully about your next steps. Do you want to be like the Greek government, to pile austerity on top of austerity? To what end? Or do you want to take another hard look at our numbers? And when our business manager says, oh, we're about 1% short on our budget for the year, that built in $150,000 surplus. So she's telling me, and our union, and our station, and our general manager, that we are on track to end the year in six-figure surplus. and yet you want to cut $300,000. What is that going to do to our listenership? How is that going to deliver Pacifica's critical mission? That's what I had to say. And Chris Stellick, by the way, who you just heard from, drew up some graphs. I'd really like to share this with everyone.
Thank you. So I think they just went around the table.
Okay. If anyone needs a copy, let us know.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hamilton. Next speaker is Ramsey Kanan, followed by Scott, whose last name I can't say, and after that, Chandra Hauptman, Ellen Jennings, Kate Gowan, Brenda Medina, Lawrence Reyes. And Mr. Kanan.
Actually, my name is Ramsey Kanan.
Kanan,
sorry. I'm actually Lebanese, which is why I have a funny name. I was brought up in Scotland, which is why I have a funny voice. I'm a proud member of the unpaid staff here at KPFA. And like our glorious founder, Lou Hill, I am an anarchist.
Yay!
I say that partly because it's all true. I also say that partly because I want to talk very briefly, of course, about two quick things. One is the notion of community radio, and the other is unpaid staff versus paid staff. So I just laid out what I am. So as I understand the logic of Pacifica is meant to broadcast to a wide variety of people. It is not meant to be community radio. Pacifica here in California reaches, what, a third of the population? So taking me as a representative example of California's population, what community do I represent, or what community am I being broadcast to? Actually, quite the opposite. I'm involved in a radio station which broadcasts to a wide range of people, giving them ideas that hopefully they can use, you know, to make a better world and form themselves, that kind of Pacifica mission stuff. We're not a community radio. We broadcast widely. Secondly, I'm a member of the unpaid staff. The reason KPFA is so successful and gives me, as unpaid staff, a platform to broadcast those ideas really widely across a third of California is because of the paid staff. It's the paid staff and the paid staff's programs which provide an audience, which build an audience. As we said before, at drive time, that's what they tune in to hear. Us unpaid staff, who do a lot of the work undoubtedly, we get that residual benefit. We get the audience provided for us. Also, the paid staff are the ones that raise the money. So I just like the board, all you good folks, to think about those two things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kanan. Next person is Scott. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Scott Wackenheim.
Thank you.
I'm used to challenges. When I was little, I was given the name Wackenheim. And then when I was about 4 or 5 year old, I was expected to spell it and then write it. This isn't to make light of what our job is today. Across the bay are two of our competitors that have much of the listenership that we could possibly get if we could get them. They are, as most many of you know, KALW and KQED. They hold their pledge drives at the same time that we do. Same dates. When we're proposed with a $300,000 cut, it's unthinkable. We can't afford to lose a DVD or a Mitch Jezerich or a Brian Edwards Tickert, and on and on, or Sasha Lilly and C.S. Song. We couldn't afford to lose one of them. I urge you to be as creative as you can. Let's solve the problem working together, not by cutting from our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person on stack is Chandra Hauptman, followed by Ellen Jennings, Kate Gowan, Brenda Medina, Lawrence Reyes, Judith Scheer. Whatever the public chooses to do is at the public's pleasure. Chandra Hauptman.
Good afternoon. KPFA has the highest salaries and benefits in the network. And even though the salaries and benefits were cut in 2008 and 2010, CL, who calls themselves now Save KPFA, projects an increase, not a decrease. Operating expenses are cut to the bone, and the only other way to decrease the budget is to reduce staff. Pacifica management receives lower salaries than all other nonprofits in the U.S., and they run a foundation of over $18 million. And because they don't get all their central services from KPFA, that KPFA is supposed to pay, and some of the other network of some of the other affiliated stations, they can't pay vendors such as Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News and operate effectively. There are problems in the budget, but there are unrealistic projections by the latest budget that was prepared by the concerned listeners in conjunction with the business manager. They project that there will be an increase of over $100,000 on their website, while at the same time in their current budget they project a deficit of over $96,000. Inconsistent figures. Why is that? Just one other point that I like to make is that a lot of people have said that the morning and the other thing is that the morning show, which was cut after these decreases in listener support in 2010, does not reflect the current decrease in income. As a matter of fact, upfront people are alleging that their budget, that the funds that they raised in the last fund drive increased, but the increase was directly in proportion to the decrease in income generated by their allied programs Against the Grain, Letters to and Politics, and Pacifica Evening News.
Thank you, Chandra. Next person on stack is Ellen Jennings, followed by Kate Gallen, Brenda Medina, Lawrence Reyes, Judith Shear, William. Ellen Jennings?
Yes. Hi, I'm a longtime listener supporter of KPFA, and I'm here to speak in support of the KPFA workers and the Safe KPFA. I oppose any of the proposed layoffs. I believe that we need quality programming, the programming that we now see in the show Upfront, Mitch Jesurich's show, Against the Grain, and the Evening News. I do not believe that KPFA can survive losing these very, very valuable programs. So apparently we're getting conflicting financial reports, and I'm hoping that the board will resolve these before making any hasty decisions. And just to let you know that we have a lot of support for these programs. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next on stack is Kate Gowan.
Hello. I also am a longtime listener and supporter of KPFA. I don't have much time, so I want to be very clear. There seems common agreement that there's a crisis at KPFA and, therefore, at Pacifica. The disagreement is what is the cause of the crisis.
Thank you.
And, therefore, what the solution must be. Stripping away the historical causes of decade-old conflicts and the grudges attending them, and addressing only the circumstances current enough to be within reach of a solution, 2 years ago an inflammatory action was taken, the cancellation of the morning show. And the last 2 years has seen an escalating reaction of outrage on one side and an ever more entrenched defense on the other. The playing out of this conflict has laid bare two different versions of what KPFA should be and how the proper role of the National Board is to be defined. About the events of the last 2 years, an objective observer would say that whatever the motivations of the actions of the executive director was, the results have been negative, further declines in support. Any business corporation answerable to its investors would require its executives to address problems that executive caused, at the very least, if not tender resignation forthwith. Nothing about the business in question being public interest broadcasting excuses its executives from this stark reality. I, like many of my friends here, am a listener, not an insider. I don't have a political agenda beyond restoration of KPFA to its function as my major media source and worthy of my support. You've had 2 years to see that enthusiastic report for the changes you implemented, what what support presumably exists
time.
For the changes you've made. And you have seen that you haven't made good on the losses that you precipitated.
Thank you for your comments. Next person on stack is Kate Gowan. Oh, I'm sorry, you were Kate Gowan. I'm sorry, forgive me. Brenda Medina from our station. Hometown crew, sorry.
Okay, hi everybody. My name is Brenda Medina,
hi,
KPFK listener, member on the local station board. So, mi nombre es Brenda Medina y soy radio escucha de KPFK. So, voy a hacer mis comentarios en inglés y en español. So, if that's okay with you all, I'm going to be translating my comments because that is relevant to our listenership. Okay, so disculpa ahorita por mi español no es muy formal. So, for Dan Siegel's comment, I agree. Digital media is necessary, and the websites that we currently have within Pacifica are very archaic and out of touch with the reality of the digital world right now. So estoy en favor del comentario que mencionó Dan Siegel de los medios de comunicación digital y en la Internet, pero desafortunadamente los medios de esta fundación no están atractivos ni a la moda. Mobile apps, I've been speaking to a lot of folks that I've been trying to get to become members, are very in favor of using apps to listen to KPFK, which has been very out of touch currently. So, aplicaciones móviles para programas musicales o también de noticieros. En cada estación es algo que tenemos que empezar hoy y inmediatamente. Many of the people, let's see.
Brenda, I'm going to allow you 2 extra minutes because you're translating. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. So, and many of the people that I've outreached to at the station have tuned in on the basis of the variety of music shows that we have at our station, and they really appreciate that. So, varios de los jóvenes que han platicado conmigo están atraídos a la estación porque... les gustan la programación musical que tenemos y la variación que tenemos. Tenemos salsa, tenemos reggae, varias cosas que la gente puede escuchar. Okay.
I'm starting your second 2 minutes. Go.
Okay. Thanks. So es la razón que la aplicación móvil es importante ahorita. In regards to the cuts, I oppose to having top-down decisions. No estoy a favor de las decisiones de la mesa directiva nacional con la manera que quieren dirigir la mesa directiva local. The PMB needs to get back to the LSB to ask for future suggestions based on the cuts. La mesa directiva nacional tiene que ir con las mesas locales para sugerir los recortes para ahorita y para el futuro. It's irresponsible for PNB directors to act on their own interest when you're supposed to be representative of the people who elect you. Es una falta de respeto para los directores nacional para poner sus propios intereses en vez de escuchar a las personas que los eligieron para esta mesa directiva nacional. Let's propose cuts based on a real recovery plan, not just some lofty thing that we put together. Hay que proponer los recortes basados en un plan real que podemos recuperarnos nacionalmente. Y también los radioescuchas no están a favor de la votación electrónica este año. So a lot of the radio or listener members that I've been talking to are not in favor of the electronic voting this year. It's way too quick and it's all sudden. Let's see. Ya basta con las acusaciones de las colectivas de las programaciones voluntarias en KPFK y nacionalmente. We need to stop, and I'm very disappointed to hear that people are accusing volunteer programmers of trying to inflate their numbers within the programs that they work on to say that they have no voting rights. So we have to fix that and either talk to general managers or to see some way that we can work with volunteer programmers to make sure that their voices are heard, because a lot of times a lot of the volunteer programmers come in after hours, after business hours, after GMs are gone or any other management is gone to work on their shows.
Okay, that's the end of your second.
Muchas gracias.
De nada. Lawrence Reyes, followed by Judith Shear, William, Diana, perhaps Martinez, Sally Summer, Virginia Browning, and then I'll continue from there. Lawrence, are you also planning to translate?
No.
Or no? Okay. Thank
Not this particular time.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
I'll defer to Brenda Medina for that.
I know.
So if I could start my time now, Madam Chair.
Yes, of course. Go ahead, please.
And board members, I'd like to really tell you how disturbed I am in regards to the way this board is carrying out their business. You had a committee of the whole for an hour and a half, and you did not have any listening participation. We sat there sweating and listening, and yet we had no listener participation. I think if you have a committee of the whole, I think that's when there's a great opportunity to allow listeners to participate. Now, in regards to some of the secrecy that goes on here, I can see why this network is in trouble, because the things that shouldn't be secret are secret. I didn't realize this until I got on the KPFK local station board, how things that should be transparent aren't. Like things that people do sneaking around, like meeting with the manager and with the executive director while they're here and not sending an email to the whole local KPFK LSB to let them know that the general manager and executive director was here, was at KPFK talking about these staff cuts, and then taking it upon themselves without even reporting back to their colleagues in regards to the way this happened. So I'm also in agreement that austerity is not the way to go right now. I think I remember being at a PNB meeting one particular time when I heard the auditor say, you cannot cut yourself out of this mess. You have to grow yourself out of this mess. And the fact is that the fact that we're losing listeners left and right, well, mostly left.
That was good, Lawrence.
Yeah, let me say that, mostly left. I don't like to mess with my right. You know, it's good that we have to laugh. But, you know, we have to take things seriously, too.
Yes.
And I think some of these things that have been secret for so long that I've been a member of the audience, now that I'm on the local station board, if I could just finish.
You're on time. Oh, you can finish, of course.
When Dan Siegel said, you know, a lot of these things, you know, secrets glow in the dark and lie and die in the light of exposure.
Thank you, Lawrence. Next speaker is Judith Shear, followed by William, Diana Martinez, Sally Summer, Virginia Browning.
Hi, Judith Shear, unpaid staff, KPFA. I want to welcome everybody to Berkeley. But
thank you.
At the same time, I don't really understand why you're here. We do have teleconferencing. It's the height of the tourist season. You all flew in the airplanes you're staying, and you've got this expensive room when you could be using the senior centers and people could have room to sit down. I don't understand. And I feel like it's emblematic of the larger picture of what's going on, these decisions that don't make sense. You know, the local station board presented three names to the executive director and for to be GM, and what happened? No, I don't know what happened. That we still have an interim GM. You spend your money on fancy lawyers, union busting lawyers, and then you want to have cuts that are going to ruin the station. I don't understand. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker is William.
Hello, William Hairwagon from New York. I usually get up here and rant and rave about various people and lack of performance. Oh, William Hairwagon from New York. I usually get up here, rant and rave about the lack of performance or something that I don't see right. This is a little different tack. We had at least two producers at WBAI who were unfairly removed. They both passed. That's Kamau Kalfani and Luis Reyes Rivera. I'm asking somebody else to read something I wrote.
I stopped your time while that person approaches the microphone. Thank you. Go ahead, please.
I actually met one of Lewis's interns at the station, and she... Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank
Is this
you.
Better?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, he's referring to Kamau Kalfani, who was banned from the station and his program slashed because he objected to a majority board member pulling a chair out from under a listener in September 2009. He was instantly dismissed for having objected to someone else's act of violence. I met one of his interns over at KPFA last night, and she didn't know he had passed. This is about Lewis. I'm passing around a bookmark that was distributed at a memorial service the National Writers Union held for him last Saturday. Okay, this is a poem that William wrote back in March when Lewis passed. And I hope I can read it without crying. Every generation, every year, every month, every day and minute, someone somewhere has asked, is asking, how can this world go on? We're losing all the strong ones, the talented ones, the giving ones, the loving ones, the knowing ones, the kind ones, the true ones, the tell you the truth even when it hurts ones, the doers, the leaders, the followers, the ones whom you knew were great and true before they left without enough honor. The others who stayed out of the limelight but truly did most of the hard behind-the-scenes work, which I did not do. The ones who invited your potential to leap out of your mind, body, and spirit. The ones who always gave credit to others for the others' efforts toward the good. The ones who always just instinctively were part of that good without even seeming to try. All praises to those who will pick up the gauntlet left us by our now ancestors. All praises to those who have already, who already have the banner of truth and justice, holding it high for all to see. All praises to those who are and have been preparing generations of thinkers, lovers, doers, especially when they are just learning to walk or talk, and a little later when they were struggling with school or social or justice issues as teens or young adults. All praises to those passing the strength, the knowledge, the instinct, the love from generation to generation. All praises to those supporting and nourishing the doers. All praises to you. You and perhaps I will have to be the strong ones. You may already be. I will continue to strive to be one. I will continue to strive to be one during our small space of time here in this place. And
thank you.
The bookmark that's being passed around on the back of it, it has an appeal for, and William didn't ask me to say this, but I did get this at the memorial. He had a book which was not published that we're trying to get published. So I'll also email the information around later, and anyone who wishes to send a contribution to do that, it would be much appreciated.
Thank you.
He was one of the stewards of the unpaid staff organizing committee at WBAI, which has been smashed since 2009.
Thank you. I let you go a minute and a half over time so as not to interrupt the poem. Thank you. Next person on stack is Diana Martinez, Sally Summer, Virginia Browning, Steve Gilmanton, Daniel Borgstrom, Janet Coburn, Lonnie Hicks, Richard Phelps. Okay. Diana Martinez.
Hi. My name is Diana Martinez, but doesn't matter. People call me here Diana. I'm from El Salvador, and I had the opportunity to go to the apprenticeship program because I was really interested in learning media. And so it was great to go there and learn. And so I became more involved with KPFA because it's the kind of politics that I am willing to listen and work for. So I became involved as a producer and paid staff. I am not paid, I am volunteer. And so I've been working and giving my time, thinking that I am doing something to, you know, have something in this world that makes some change, because, you know, we need that. But unfortunately, I think that sometimes I don't want to be involved with so much politics inside of the station, because I feel like it's too much. And I feel like we need to have space and time to work, because what we need is to really find a way to undo the things that the government and the corporations and all those people are doing to our people. And so I learned very bad things about how the politics involved at the station works. And one of them, I have to say, and that probably was one of the things that put me more aside, is when I was in the apprenticeship program, and I remember Mrs. Rosenberg coming to tell us who we should vote to for, or you know, when there were election boards or things like that, which I think it was really bad. And so for me, that lose credibility. I'm sorry about my English.
It's okay.
Credibilidad. Lose credibility for anybody who is there and making decisions that are going to really be bad. And you should just listen, people. Listen to your audience, to your radio, and listen and see why we are having so much troubles. It really is about programming and bad decisions.
You're
thank you.
Time. Thank you. And next speaker is Sally Summer. And Diana, I had meant to offer, if anyone who speaks Spanish who wishes to give their comments in Spanish, please tell me, and I will give you additional 2 minutes if that's desired. Thank you. And Diana?
Sally.
Sally Summer. Thank you. Please
a longtime volunteer at KPFA and a volunteer during every election. Really? Election. Okay. I'm going to talk fast. the budget. Yes, I agree with Andrew Phillips. It is a moving target. At first, we have a $300,000 deficit, then a $90,000 deficit, then a $100,000, you know, over. Anyway, this is a challenge. This is a challenge to Pacifica. The most important thing to me is the Pacifica network. We have a network of 5 stations delivering information and culture and everything else that cannot be had anywhere else. And this, you are stewards of this. So I say, when you have budgets come up like this, who knows what's going on? Who is the arbiter? Who's going to say? How do you know? How can you make decisions about cuts or anything else if you don't even know what the budget is? So, you know, if you need some other help, then you need some other help. But I rely on you, and I give this challenge to you. The other one is fundraising at KPFA. During the last 2 elections, Save KPFA said the main function of the LSB was to raise funds. Well, great. They haven't. They actually raised $60,000 to keep the morning show on, but it never got to KPFA. $60,000 they withheld.
They wouldn't accept it.
Okay, folks. She has the floor. Thank you. Continue.
There were conditions. Is that right? Thank you. Not with conditions. In terms of diversity, somebody mentioned diversity. Public forums. We have not had a public forum, KPFA, for over 2 years.
Time.
This is the way you...
You can finish your thought.
That's the way you outreach. Not with national election supervisors. That is not their job. They do not do outreach.
Thank you for your comments. Next person on stack is Virginia Browning, followed by Steve Gilmanton, Daniel Borgstrom, Janet Coburn, Lonnie Hicks, Richard Phelps, and George Pop. Pope, that's an E. Thank you. Okay. Virginia Browning?
Hi. First, I just want to say I thank everybody here. If you're willing to get another point of view. If you're willing to get another point of view. But, you know, otherwise, just go by the famous people that you think you know. Anyway, okay, fine. I'm sorry that KPFA hasn't taught people to try and at least listen to another point of view. I really thank everybody here who cares about independent media as much as I do. I'm a radio head, and in this world today, Progressive Network is so important. So I'm going to go through all these notes I made while people were talking. Regarding local control, you know, if it's only local control headed by staff who have their own self-interest, what happens, like in the last few elections, that, and I've been involved with the elections for many years, is that people can do election violations by using their on-air time to skew listener perception. Okay, now this thing about the morning show being taken off the air, Andrew Phillips doesn't even seem to understand this yet. The morning show took themselves off the air. There are recordings of this. Arlene Engelhardt needed to make some cuts. She had lined up some other union staff to go in because the union mandated that the cuts be made in seniority order. There were higher seniority staff ready to go. They put a memo out. I have seen a copy of it. that says, no, we refuse. And not only that, but they boycotted the show. They called guests up. They de-supported the show. So this loss of money was in large part because people believed their hype and quit supporting KPFA. This was because of the things that these people, Save KPFA, have done. I know you guys all know this, but not everybody knows it. I don't know. You know, most of the people have already left who pretend that they're interested in dialogue. Good. Not all of them have. But they're, you know, it's really unfair. It would be good if we had actual dialogue about things like this. Let's see. Local control, the news. You know, there are lots of things that can't get on the news because they're not...
Time. But you can finish.
Conservative, the people that are on there now. But it's controlled by the same few little people. There's so many other points they made. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Ms. Browning. Steve. Ken? Please. Steve Gilmartin?
Gilmartin.
Gilmartin, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm a longtime KPFA listener subscriber. And I was listening to the public comments at yesterday's session and was disturbed to hear the KPFA LSB vice chair and now others say that paid staff programming is what brings in the money and therefore should be immune to cuts. Now, at the risk of pointing out the obvious, such programs also cost much more to produce. And during the last fund drive, numbers for many of the paid staff programs showed steep declines in support. I believe this is at least partly because of a softened, more moderate political message that doesn't resonate with the listenership. In my opinion, the best community-oriented outside the mainstream programming is from unpaid staff. Unfortunately, the vice chair's views are not uncommon and reflect the two-tiered system of political power and resource allocation within the station. I also think that the relentlessly negative anti-Pacifica, anti-Rosenberg disinformation campaigns have not only divided the listenership and left activist community here, but have eliminated large chunks of support for the station. People don't like to contribute hard-earned money to an organization that's always at war with itself. I don't think abrogation of free speech is the right way to counter this. Instead, create equivalent paths of dissemination for the side not being heard. Right now, it's very lopsided. Also, constructive approaches, publicity, for example, would be good. Currently, the only LSB member who I know of who regularly publicizes a range of programming at KPFA is Tracy Rosenberg.
Thank you for your comments. Perfectly timed at 2 minutes. Thank you. Daniel Borgstrom, followed by Janet Coburn, Lonnie Hicks, Richard Phelps, George Pope, John Sheridan, Andrea Pritchard, Mark Maracle, Jane Welford, Nancy Delaney, Tess Walburn, and Carol Beaudron. Mr. Borgstrom.
I'm Daniel Borgstrom. I've been attending KPFA's LSB meetings for about 6-7 years now. Attended quite a few of them, probably more than hardly anybody else, probably. But I want to say one thing. We have some valuable resources at Pacifica, KPFA Pacifica. We have, there's financial resources and there's human resources. We have staff. We have some excellent staff and some, that includes both some excellent paid staff and some excellent unpaid staff who are often undervalued. We also have other people. We have board members, various people who are, I believe, are not paid anything for their efforts. And one person I'm thinking of right now, Tracy Rosenberg, is an example. And yet there's a movement to recall her. And what really intrigues me is, as I hear, listen today, is that it seems that the same people who are against any sort of layoffs, any sort of cutbacks, are also at the same time out to recall Tracy. Now, how much will we save by recalling Tracy? I don't think she works for anything. Well, we've spent a great deal of money on this whole thing, however it turns out. What I want to say is that I look at the people on one side who don't want to cut, who don't want layoffs and want to get, do not want to lose staff. Okay. And yet they're willing, they're out to get rid of Tracy.
Thank you, Mr. Borgsham. Next is Janet Coburn.
Coburn.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, hi. I'm a listener member of the KPFA local station board. Being someone who has been very active in the Occupy movement,
yay,
I have the banking system on my mind. Unlike the Federal Reserve, which is both private and public, some would say mostly private, but I digress. Unlike the Fed, that can order the government to print and put money into circulation, the Pacifica Foundation does not have that option. It relies almost solely on the generous donations of its listeners and must live within its means in order to make payroll and pay the bills. You, the Pacifica National Board, and you alone are the body that has the fiduciary responsibility to keep Pacifica and its stations solvent. Given this current state of Pacifica's and its stations' finances, I understand that downsizing has to happen. Any reduction of paid staff must be done in compliance with union contracts, and every effort must be made to provide support and sensitivity to those being cut and to those remaining, including unpaid staff. But we also have to keep in mind that the purpose of this network is not about maintaining a paid staff. It is about implementing the Pacifica mission, to be a radio broadcasting educational enterprise whose purpose is to address causes of and resolutions of conflicts, serve our communities, and accurately disseminate alternative and unpopular news. I trust you are doing your best to make this happen, even during these hard times. If we can't, it really comes down to a failure of imagination. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coburn. Next speaker on stack is Lonnie Hicks, Richard Phelps, George Pope, John Sheridan.
My backside's going to sleep.
Sorry about that, Mr. Hicks.
I thought I was coming here, make a few comments, and leave quick, but then I remember, oh, this is Pacifica. It's not going to be fast. Okay, I have just three comments to make. There's suggestions and recommendations about how to raise money. That's what I used to do here. So I'm offering my ideas for better or worse.
Thank you.
Three things you can do in the time frame you have, 5 or 6 months, to raise $500,000 or $600,000. Is that possible?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Here's how. One, you need to come up with a Twitter campaign. There are 500 million people on Twitter. 500 million. Twitter is not Facebook, which has 200 or 300. In Twitter, I have 25,000 followers on Twitter. I have 25. You can get 1 million.
Here's,
I'm selling something on, yeah, I wouldn't do it. Now, here's what you do. You go on Twitter, as Pacifica, and you go to Yoko Ono, Danny Glover's Twitter account, and you follow all of those folks' followers. And they will follow you back because you identified people in your group. You can do this overnight. The Twitter account is free. I got 25,000 followers in about 3 or 4 weeks doing that. That's the first thing to do. You can put on Twitter a photo that shows all of Pacifica and the 125 affiliates on a map, introducing yourself to, remember, the 25,000 followers have thousands of followers. They have thousands of followers. It can be done in 3 weeks, maybe more. You can do this. You put Pacifica's name out there. You identify people that agree with the values that Pacifica stands for. And you don't need to spend money doing it. And you can do it quickly. Idea number one. You can put up 9 tweets a day. Go look at my Twitter account. You'll see what I do. The second thing to do.
You're at time, but I'll let you go ahead and please finish.
No, that's okay. The Twitter's good enough.
No. Hold on. Folks, come on. I would like to go ahead. Go ahead and make your other 2 suggestions,
okay,
please.
I'll make it quick. A zip code strategy. You go to Melissa Data that has the zip codes of everybody in the United States, who they gave to, what their political affiliation is, where they live. Just have somebody send a few mails. I know everybody in Berkeley that gave money, who, what their organizations are and how much. You can do that. In this zip code, I did it before it came in, just to be sure it was still there. The third one is a mail campaign. Now, it's a different kind of mail campaign because you're mailing to college zip codes. You're mailing to donors who Pacifica has a mailing list. I know, 14,000 strong. You mail to those folks, we were raising $110,000 mailing to 14,000 people. Deduplicate that, get rid of the things that are not relevant, and use it. You can do that in 3 months. Yeah, duplicate. Some of these things are out of date. And so you can do it.
Bebop.
So I thought the police were coming. Anyway, so that's it. 3 ideas.
Thank you, Mr. Hicks. Next speakers, Richard Phelps, George Pope, John Sheridan, Andrew Pritchard, Mark Miracle, Jane Welford, and Nancy Delaney, Tess Walborn, and Carol Beaudrin.
Good afternoon, everybody. Richard Phelps, former chair of the local board and 38-year listener, subscriber. I wore my Mission Impossible hat today because that's what this organization makes me think about. I have a little whimsical thought. How many people here have ever been present at an LSB or PNB meeting where a substantive issue was unanimously voted through? Rare.
Once in a while.
It does happen. Well, I was at an LSB meeting in 2010, in October, and a motion came up, and I thought, this will be one, because we hadn't had one there for years. And the motion was that the budget we were approving would be handled according to the union contract. And I thought, who's going to disagree with that? Guess what? Every Save KPFA member voted against it. Now, I sat and I thought about this. Why would they do that? And there was only one reason. They were used to controlling, under the previous administrations, who got hired and who got fired. They had total patronage and cronyism control as long as I can remember. And now they didn't. And the reality was, the people with the lowest seniority were some of their folks. So if we followed the union contract, they'd get laid off. And I can tell you right now, if Miguel Molina or Dennis Bernstein were the people likely to be laid off for this budget cut, they wouldn't be here saying don't cut people.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps. Next person on stack is George Pope.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm a listener and subscriber. I live in San Mateo, and I haven't been in Berkeley that much to see all this action here. But I came because of today's meeting, of course. And I also came because of those 2 postcards that came in the mail. One was celebrating the ties to the CWA union, and the other was to the people I thought of as passionate news messengers. I'm a news nut, so that's really why I came. I like the apprentice program. I think it elevates witnesses to the status of reporters. I saw Dennis Bernstein's concern about being that he was going to be chased out of KPFA. That really got my attention because I like Dennis. I think he's the most acute news reporter, and he seems to always have magical ties to wherever the action is. the Norah Barrett Friedman displacement bothered me a whole lot, and and the Tracy Rosenberg business. I really worry about Tracy, and it just piled on concerns to me because I am a subscriber. If these heads fall, I don't think I'll be a subscriber anymore. It's just as simple as that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Before I continue with the stack, I was handed a note that informed me that a listener from New York City might wish to speak without being named but had not put her name down on the list. Is that an accurate representation?
Am I
not? Okay, would you like to be on the list?
I am on the list that Otis gave us.
The list I was handed not have you on there. I will put you on the list.
There were a number of people on that sheet.
I've got two sheets in front of me with names, but I was then handed a note that informed me that your name was not on there. I will simply call you anonymously.
That's fine. I'm just saying there were people above me on that sheet. So wherever that sheet is, you might...
If I am missing a sheet, then I kindly request that it be found and brought to me. I have the two sheets that I was handed, and they are the only two that I have. Thank you. The next speaker is John Sheridan, followed by Andrea Pritchard, Mark Miracle, Jane Welford, Nancy Delaney, Tess, perhaps, Walborn, Carol Baudrin, and our listener from New York. Is John Sheridan in the room? And if not, I will move to the next speaker, Andrea Pritchard. If John Sheridan comes back in, somebody let me know, please. Thank you.
Hello again. I just wanted to thank everybody who's here today, genuinely, sincerely. I want to thank all the staff who came, paid and unpaid. To me, it's one staff. But I'm concerned when I'm listening to the staff, and I guess I'm wondering what your plan is. Like, what you say, no cuts, and as an LSB member, I'm trying to figure out, well, what then? You know, there are material realities, and if there's not money there, then what do we do? Tell me, give me a plan that makes some kind of sense. And I do notice that after the last cuts happened, the activity that I noticed was heavy political infighting to the point where, as a listener, I'm listening to one of our paid staff members saying, give us money, stop the bloodletting. And I turned off. I couldn't hear that anymore. You know, I got family problems of my own. I don't need other people's problems. You know, like, no, really, it's a stress thing. It's bad radio. And I guess I want to invite us to really remember, like this, we as a community have a problem. And the problem is how to elevate the voices of the struggle, how to inspire and motivate the population to create a just society. And I'm so sad that so much of the energy has gone into creating buttons and stickers that are about things other than solving our development problem and solving this problem of solvency. And so I guess what I'm inviting is I would love to work with the staff, because the staff has a power. You've got the forum, obviously. We've heard it used for better and worse in different political factional struggles. But we've got outreach efforts happening. We could have a development plan, but I'd love to see a higher level of integration with the staff. To create a plan, and I guess I'd love to see what plan you have now.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Pritchard. Next person on stack is Mark Miracle.
Oh, excuse me, I'm John Sheridan. I was
oh,
just
you
out
are
of the
John
room.
Sheridan.
I'm sorry.
No problem, not at all. Okay, next person on stack is John Sheridan.
I was a little dehydrated.
Not a problem. It's a hot room. Thank you for bearing with us.
It is. I'm a longtime listener of KPFA and an activist starting about 1999, and I definitely want to urge a no on the recall vote for Tracy to anyone who might be listening who may not have voted. But also, vis-a-vis the upcoming possible budget cuts, likely inevitable budget cuts, KPFA and Pacifica are not a government. You cannot print money. And it seems to me that in light of the recent history in 08 and 09 of KPFA, who makes the budgets and is responsible for filling the budgets locally, missing 11 out of 12 pledge drive goals, that's, to me, not an accident. Nobody's that clueless for that long. Sure, in a recession, especially a steep one, you're going to miss some number of them, but you got to then make some adjustments. They were not made. Reserves were spent. Now we're broke, and we're facing more cuts. I mean, this is just obviously I'm not in the financial dealings, but this is from an outsider. It makes absolutely no sense to say, yeah, we're gonna lose $300,000 this year, or $30,000, or $70,000. Let's not make any cuts. It's like it's red ink. You cannot do that as a nonprofit and survive. It's a game of chicken, I think, that's being played with Pacifica. I think it's outrageous. And if anybody needs to be recalled, it's people who are proffering budgets and passing budgets that are red ink.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Sheridan. And to clear up any confusion, it turns out that the unnamed speaker, there is a note at the bottom of this page. I did not recognize that as anything, frankly. So I do have all the papers. Thank you. Next speaker is Mark Miracle.
My name is Mark Miracle. I've been news co-director at KPFA for 30 years. For many years, I've been a union shop steward. I'm currently contractual vice president for KPFA, Communication Workers of America, Local 9415. As many of you board members know, my union has formally requested a meeting with the foundation's executive director to go over the books, to see how bad the financial situation of the foundation is. We have also requested a meeting with the executive director to discuss alternatives to layoffs, at which meeting, if it occurs and when, we will present concrete ideas for alternatives to layoffs to the staff. Assuming, however, that the executive director has it right, that there is a $1 million problem for Pacifica, $1 million in red ink looming, that is a serious problem. I would say it's a dire situation. I would say it's a situation that calls not for business as usual, not for rounding up the usual suspects. The usual suspects being the paid staff to cut their hours, their wages, their jobs, their benefits. Cutting KPFA staff means cutting the programmers that have KPFA in the black. Cutting KPFA programs means cutting programs that have KPFA running a surplus. Cutting us means cutting the network's own throat.
Thank you. Next speaker is Jane Welford.
Hi, Jane Welford. We know the economy is horrible all around the world, and we're probably better off here. I'm sure Lou Hill would not have looked to the Chamber of Commerce or different business competitions to around this station. And I've been sort of hurt by hearing people put down the unpaid staff who do so much of the work and calling them unprofessional, and when they were doing incredible good work. And, you know, the ongoing whining about cutting one program, and I don't know. I just feel like Lou Hill would be horrified at this. And, yeah, we have economic troubles. I'm totally against the ousting of Tracy. You know, she is looking at the finances and saying, we got to do something here. And the unpaid staff are amazing. Absolutely amazing, and their programs have been amazing, and I think it's rotten that people have been saying that they're unprofessional. So thank you all.
Thank you, Ms. Wilford. Next speaker is Nancy Delaney, followed by, again, I'm not sure if that's Tess, Walborn, Carol Baudron, and a listener from New York.
Hello. My name is Nancy Delaney. I was a listener since the middle 60s to KPFA,
And I came as an unpaid programmer. I was in the women's department, the public affairs department, the operations department. I worked there 16 years as an unpaid staff. I helped grow an unpaid staff alliance and against the wishes of most of the paid staff and the administration. And but I was disappointed because most of the people who ran for the position were sort of brown nosing the people who already had their claws on what's going to happen and not. And I just like to say that I discovered that there is an internal class structure, mm-hmm. and there's people who count, and those people make money.
Yep.
And there are people who don't. And so what we have is we have the administration. And then we have the paid staff and the ones who are governing the people within the paid staff, who are paid staff. And then we have the unpaid programmers. And then we have the volunteers. And then we have the listeners. And the people in the paid staff may not be doing any self-appraisal, but what I had seen was that there's a assuming that the listeners are going to always be there, the volunteers are going to be there, and we just, you know, beg them and they'll come in. The unpaid staff are going to be there. We got to watch out for them that they don't get our jobs. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we don't want them in here too much. And meanwhile, and the news department in particular, they've got a whole bunch of more hours. I mean, time now. They don't just have the news hour at 6 anymore. They have these little 10-minute slots eating into often unpaid people's time. And so that there's more say and more clout. And what bothers me is that as an unpaid staff person, the paid staff have this hegemony where they do not know how to include or to honor and respect the unpaid staff. Somebody warned us about nonprofit professionals because they get too isolated from the people. Mm-hmm. And I think Tracy Rosenberg found where the bones were buried, and the executive director as well. These are people who are just questioning this hegemony.
Thank you. For your comments.
Good afternoon. Thanks for your perseverance in this heat wave.
Thank
you. Well, it seems like that to me. Tess Wellborn from San Francisco. I object to the delay of the recall election. I call into question votes that have been taken since it should have occurred almost a year ago. I object to the failure to appoint one of the three general manager candidates that the KPFA LSB board identified. I object to Pacifica's overlarge spending, and I ask you to cut your spending by 2/3. And I ask you to promise to stop saddling the network with legal bills. I try mediation, for example, if you really desperately need help. Which we do. We desperately need help. I object to Pacifica's taking money from KPFA and not repaying it. I have given money and time over the years. My partner's got his name on the wall over there, and there have been times that he's thought about asking it for it to be removed. And I hope that, sincerely, that we do not get into that again. We desperately need KPFA's strong voice telling the truth. Please look for ways to strengthen KPFA and our colleague stations, not cripple us.
Thank you for your comments. Carol Beaudron.
Hi, I'm a longtime listener and supporter. And I just want to say that cutting union staff positions to me feels counterintuitive to the mission of both KPFA and Pacifica. And while the economy is in bad shape, we all know that. There are a lot of people that it's not affecting that drastically. And I really want to encourage all of you to think outside the box, get creative, get bold in fundraising ideas, and not just to maintain our current paid staff, but to bring on new, diverse talent. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And our listener from New York, please.
I should get the pens whenever
Don't start timing it. Yeah, this actually does help. Thank you.
Okay. A couple of things. This is the second time a meeting is being held at this hotel. The legal size, the legal... I'm sorry?
We're having trouble hearing. If you could just move it up a little. Thank you.
I'm pretty close.
I'm restarting your time. Go ahead.
Okay. The size of this room, the occupancy of this room is 55, with a board of 22, two executives, two techs, and a lawyer. That means 27 of you, and at the most, 28 of everyone else. So, you know, you guys really need to pay attention. The bylaws ask for adequate space, unless you're trying to avoid the public. I have a my point about these cuts that many of us heard about first in a current magazine article of $1 million to $1.5 million. It seems to me that this amount represents a substantial change to the budget, and if the LSBs have a right and an obligation to approve those budgets, such a change should also go through the LSBs as opposed to going through the FART committee. What is it, the force for responsibility, retrenchment, I don't know, whatever it is, you guys, financial recovery and retrenchment, which is what, you know, I don't think you've ever had a public meeting, so I'm not quite sure what you do there. I understand from a report to the listener, which some of us call a retort to the listener, in New York, that the GM said on June 27th, between 3 and 5 p.m., that WBAI is alive and well, and therefore I would ask that the Central Services waiver, which someone had granted, so that instead of paying 19.5% like the other stations, or at least accruing it, that BAI be allowed the privilege of sharing fully with the national office, who raises no money, the same amount that other stations have to raise and not get a waiver. I think it's been reduced to 9% or something like that. But Berthold Reimus, who's the financial genius that you guys hired, said that the station is alive and well. I understand that I heard the chair this morning say something about, you know, there are staff people who we've known for a long time can't do their work and they've just got to go or something to that effect.
There
can't
time.
Be 2 minutes, really?
Oh,
okay,
yes.
Let me just finish this thought. But there is a process where if employees are not performing as they should, they get evaluated and they get trained. And failure to do that and summary dismissals, I would think, would lead to lawsuits, which brings us back to so many of the other comments. But I'll save the rest till tomorrow. Thanks.
Thank you so much. All right. Folks, just for the record, for those who think we're not interested in hearing from the public, the board recognizes that these are a serious situation that we have facing the foundation and that there's deep concern amongst the listeners as well as the staff. We've had an hour and a half of public comment. We had one half hour scheduled. I just want to be clear that we are happy to hear from you, and thank you for coming today. Now, we have dinner in 7 minutes and a board that was kind of undecided about what it was doing after dinner, so you're more than are we still meeting? Yeah, so we did vote. So I don't know what we're doing during that time.
I call for adjournment so we can talk to the listeners.
We're going
to
adjourn at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. will be our dinner break. Please be back if you're a board member at 7 p.m. Thank you. And I'm sorry, we have a point of personal privilege. It's already coming in. It's been coming in.
Could I have your attention for a moment, please? I'm not sure that I know.
Can you make Afia's mic hot, please, John?
No, we have
yes, could I have your attention for a moment, please? Local people. Okay, folks, could you just, 1 moment, please? Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Yes, I'm looking for someone locally who has an automobile who is interested in seeing the film Beast of the Southern Wild. I am willing to pay for their admission to the theater. It's in San Rafael, and there's no public transportation coming back to Berkeley. So if someone would be willing to accompany me to the theater, I would appreciate it. If you'll let me know at the end.
It's 7 p.m. open or
Thank you. Now, 7 p.m. is going to be open. We're open. Okay, we're going to break for an hour, 6 to 7 p.m., and come back at 7.
And 7 do 20. What?
I'll look at the agenda, okay? But we voted on it. We're going to be in open session. Oh, yeah. We're working on. Yeah, totally. Okay, so I'll figure that out right now, okay? Yeah. In fact, let me do that now. I'm going to look at the agenda and see what, I mean, things have gotten pushed along a bit here. Oh, you know, we never had the National Finance Committee. We never had National Finance Committee. I can figure that out because I've already had to move her report and my report tomorrow. So you know what? We're just going to go through. Okay. I think.
Yeah.